Chapter 6 The Shepherdess. "You're dead," said Tiffany. She looked around. Feagles were picking themselves up and grumbling, but no one was going, "Wheely, wheely, wheely," and Rob Anybody wasn't making any sense at all. "Well, if you think you're dead, then what are they?" she went on, pointing to a couple of small bodies. "Oh, they've gone back to the land of the living," said Rob Anybody cheerfully. "It's nae as good as this one, but they'll bide fine and come back before too long. No sense in grieving." The Achings were not very religious, but Tiffany thought she knew how things ought to go, and they started out with the idea that you were alive and not dead yet. "But you are alive," she said.
"Ach, no, mistress," said Rob, helping another pixie to his feet. "We was alive, and we was good boys back in the land of the living. And so, when we died there, we was born into this place."
"You mean, you think, that you sort of died somewhere else and then came here?" said Tiffany.
"You mean this is like heaven?"
"Aye, just as advertised," said Rob Anybody. "Lovely sunshine, good hunting, nice pretty flowers, and wee butt is going cheap."
"Aye, and then there's the fighting," said another feagle, and then they all joined in.
"And the stealing.
And the drinking and fighting."
"And the kebabs," said Duff Woolley.
"But there's bad things here," said Tiffany. "There's monsters."
"Aye," said Rob, beaming happily.
"Grand, isn't it? Everything laid on, even things to fight."
"But we live here," said Tiffany.
"Ach, well, maybe all you humans was good in the last world, too," said Rob Anybody generously. "I'll just round up the lads, mistress."
Tiffany reached into her apron and pulled out the toad as Rob walked away.
"Oh, we survived," it said. "Amazing. There are very definite grounds for an action against the owner of those dogs, by the way."
"What?" said Tiffany, frowning. "What are you talking about?"
I don't know," said the toad. "The thought just popped into my head. Perhaps I knew something about dogs when I was human."
"Listen, the Feagles think they're in heaven. They think they died and came here."
"And?" said the toad.
"Well, that can't be right. You're supposed to be alive here and then die and end up in some heaven somewhere else."
"Well, that's just saying the same thing in a different way, isn't it? Anyway, lots of warrior tribes think that when they die they go to a heavenly land somewhere," said the toad. "You know, where they can drink and fight and feast forever, so maybe this is theirs."
"But this is a real place."
"So? It's what they believe. Besides, they're any small. Maybe the universe is a bit crowded, and they have to put heavens anywhere there's room. I'm a toad, so you'll appreciate that I'm having to guess a lot here. Maybe they're just wrong. Maybe you're just wrong. Maybe I'm just wrong."
A small foot kicked Tiffany on the boot.
"We'd best be moving on, mistress," said Rob Anybody.
He had a dead feagle over his shoulder. Quite a few of the others were carrying bodies, too.
"Are you going to bury them?" said Tiffany.
"Aye, they dinna need these old bodies new, and it's no tidy to leave 'em lying aboot,"
said Rob Anybody. "Besides, if the big jobs find little wee skulls and bones around, they'll start to wonder, and we don't want anyone poking aboot. Saving your presence, mistress," he added.
"No, that's very, practical thinking," said Tiffany, giving up. The feagle pointed to a distant mound with a thicket of thorn trees growing on it. A lot of the mounds had thickets on them. The trees took advantage of the deeper soil. It was said to be unlucky to cut them down.
"It's nae very far noo," he said.
"You live in one of the mounds?" Tiffany asked.
"I thought they were, you know, the graves of ancient chieftains." "Ach, aye. There's some old dead kingy in the chamber next door, but he's nae trouble," said Rob. "Dinna fret, there's nae skellingtons or any such in oor bit. It's quite roomy. We've done it up a treat."
Tiffany looked up at the endless blue sky over the endlessly green downland. It was all so peaceful again, a world away from headless men and big savage dogs. "What if I hadn't taken Wentworth down to the river," she thought. "What would I be doing now? Getting on with the cheese, I suppose. I never knew about all this. I never knew I lived in heaven, even if it's only heaven to a clan of little blue men. I didn't know about people who flew on buzzards. I never killed monsters before."
"Where do they come from?" she said. "What's the name of the place the monsters come from?"
"Ach, you probably ken the place well," said Rob Anybody.
As they grew nearer the mound,
Tiffany thought she could smell smoke in the air.
"Do I?" she said.
"Aye, but it's no a name I'll say in open air. It's a name to be whispered in a safe place. I'll not say it under the sky."
It was too big to be a rabbit hole, and badgers didn't live up here, but the entrance to the mound was tucked amongst the thorn roots, and no one would have thought it was anything but the home of some kind of animal. Tiffany was slim, but even so she had to take off her apron and crawl on her stomach under the thorns to reach it, and it still needed several feagles to push her through. At least it didn't smell bad, and, once you were through the hole, it opened up a lot. Really, the entrance was just a disguise. Underneath, the space was the size of quite a large room, open in the centre but with feagle-sized galleries around the walls from floor to ceiling. They were crowded with Picts of all sizes, washing clothes, arguing, sewing, and here and there fighting, and doing everything as loudly as possible. Some had hair and beards tinged with white. Much younger ones, only a few inches tall, were running around with no clothes on and yelling at one another at the tops of their little voices. After a couple of years of helping to bring up Wentworth, Tiffany knew what that was all about. There were no girls, though. No wee free women. No, there was one. The squabbling, bustling crowds parted to let her through. She came up to Tiffany's ankle. She was prettier than the male feagles, although the world was full of things prettier than, say, Daft Woolly. But like them, she had red hair and an expression of determination. She curtsied and then said, "Are you the big job hag, mistress?" Tiffany looked around. She was the only person in the cavern who was over 7 inches tall.
Yes, she said. More or less, yes.
"I am Fionn. The Kelda says to tell you the wee boy may come to nae harm yet."
"She's found him," said Tiffany quickly. "Where is he?"
"Nay, nay. But the Kelda knows the ways of the Queen. She didna want you to fash yoursel on that score."
"But she stole him."
"Aye, 'tis complicated. Rest a wee while. The Kelda will see you presently. She is not strong now."
Fionn turned around with a swirl of skirts, strode back across the chalk floor as if she was a queen herself, and disappeared behind a large round stone that leaned against the far wall. Tiffany, without looking down, carefully lifted the toad out of her pocket and held it close to her lips.
"Am I fashing myself?" she whispered.
"No, not really," said the toad.
"You would tell me if I was, wouldn't you?" said Tiffany urgently. "It'd be terrible if everyone could see I was fashion and I didn't know."
"You haven't a clue what it means, have you?" said the toad.
"Not exactly, no."
"She just doesn't want you to get upset, that's all."
"Yes, I thought it was probably something like that," lied Tiffany.
"Can you sit on my shoulder? I think I might need some help here." The ranks of the Nacmac Feagle were watching her with interest, but at the moment it appeared that she had nothing to do but hurry up and wait. She sat down carefully, drumming her fingers on her knees.
"What do you think of the wee place, eh?" said a voice from below. "It's great, yeah?"
She looked down. Rob Anybody Feagle and a few of the Picts she'd already met were lurking there, watching her nervously.
"Very cosy," said Tiffany, because that was better than saying, "How sooty," or "How delightfully noisy." She added, "Do you cook for all of you on that little fire?"
The big space in the centre held a small fire, under a hole in the roof which let the smoke get lost in the bushes above, and in return brought in a little extra light.
"Aye, mistress," said Rob Anybody.
"The small stuff, bunnies and that," added Daft Woolly. "The big stuff we roast on the chalk peak."
"Sorry, what was that?"
"What?"
said Rob Anybody, innocently, his hand firmly over the mouth of the struggling Woolly.
"What was Woolly saying about roasting big stuff?" Tiffany demanded. "You roast big stuff in the chalk pit. Is this the kind of big stuff that goes bar? Because that's the only big stuff you'll find in these hills."
She kneeled down on the grimy floor and brought her face to within an inch of Rob Anybody's face, which was grinning madly and sweating.
"Is it? Ach, we'll, in a manner of speaking,
it is."
"'Tis not thine, mistress," shrieked Rob Anybody. "We ne'er took an aching ship without the leave of Granny."
"Granny Aching let you have sheep?"
"Aye, aye, she did that, as payment."
"Payment for what?"
"No aching ship ever got caught by wolves," Rob Anybody gabbled. "No foxes took an aching lamb, right? Nor no lamb e'er had its een picked out by corpies, not with wee Hamish up in the sky." Tiffany looked sideways at the toad.
"Crows," said the toad. "They sometimes peck out the eyes of—"
"Yes, yes, I know what they do," said Tiffany. She calmed down a little.
"Oh, I see. You kept away the crows and wolves and foxes for Granny, yes?"
"Aye, mistress. No, just kept them away, neither," said Rob Anybody triumphantly. "There's good eating on a wolf."
"Aye, they kebabs up a treat, but they're no as good as a ship, though,"
Wooly managed, before a hand was clamped over his mouth again.
"From a hag you only take what you's given," said Rob Anybody, holding his struggling brother firmly. "Since she's gone, though, we tack the odd old ewe that would have deed anyway, but ne'er one with the aching mark on my honour."
"On your honour as a drunken rowdy thief," said Tiffany. Rob Anybody beamed.
"Aye," he said, "and I got a lot of good big reputation to protect there. That's the truth of it, mistress. We keeps an eye on the ships of the hills, in memory of Granny Aching, and in return we tack what is hardly worth a thing.
And a baccy, of course." And then, once again, Daft Wooly was struggling to breathe. Tiffany took a deep breath, but not a wise move in a Fegal colony. Rob Anybody's nervous grin made him look like a pumpkin man faced with a big spoon.
"You take the tobacco," hissed Tiffany. "The tobacco, the shepherd's leaf for my grandmother."
I forgot about that," squeaked Rob Anybody. "But we allus wait a few days in case she comes to collect it hersel. You can ne'er tell we a hag after all. And we do mind the ship's mistress, and she wouldn't grudge us as mistress. Many's a night she'd share a pipe with the kelder outside our house and the wheelies. She'd not be the one to let good baccy get all rainy. Please, mistress."
Tiffany felt intensely angry, and what made it worse was that she was angry with herself.
"When we find lost lambs and such like, we drives them here for when the shepherds come looking," Rob Anybody added anxiously.
What did I think happened, Tiffany thought. Did I think she'd come back for a packet of jolly sailor? Did I think she was still somehow walking the hills looking after the sheep? Did I think she was still here watching for lost lambs?
Yes, I want that to be true. I don't want to think she's just gone. Someone like Granny Aching can't just not be there any more. And I want her back so much because she didn't know how to talk to me, and I was too scared to talk to her. And so we never talked, and we turned silence into something to share. I know nothing about her. Just some books and some stories she tried to tell me, and things I didn't understand. And I remember big, red, soft hands and that smell. I never knew who she really was. I mean, she must have been 9 too once. She was Sarah Grizzle. She got married and had children. 2 of them in the shepherding hut. She must have done all sorts of things I don't know about. And into Tiffany's mind, as it always did sooner or later, came the figure of the blue and white China shepherdess, swirling in red mists of shame. Tiffany's father took her to the fair at the town of Yelp one day not long before her 7th birthday, when the farm had some rams to sell. That was a 10-mile journey, the furthest she'd ever been. It was off the chalk. Everything looked different. There were far more fenced fields and lots of cows, and the buildings had tiled roofs instead of thatch. She considered that this was foreign travel. Granny Aching had never been there, said her father on the way. She hated leaving the chalk, he said. She said it made her dizzy. It was a great day. Tiffany was sick on candy floss, had her fortune told by a little old lady who said that many, many men would want to marry her, and won the shepherdess, which was made of china painted in white and blue. She was the star prize on the hoopla stall, but Tiffany's father had said it was all cheating, because the base was so wide that not one throw in a million could ever drop the hoop right over it. She'd thrown the ring any old how, and it had been the one in a million. The stallholder hadn't been very happy about it landing over the shepherdess rather than the gimcrack rubbish on the rest of the stall. He handed it over when her father spoke sharply to him, though, and she'd hugged it all the way home on the cart while the stars came out. Next morning, she'd proudly presented it to Granny Aching. The old woman had taken it very carefully in her wrinkled hands and stared at it for some time. Tiffany was sure now that it had been a cruel thing to do. Granny Aching had probably never heard of shepherdesses. People who cared for sheep on the chalk were all called shepherds. And that was all there was to it. And this beautiful creature was as much unlike Granny Aching as anything could be. The China shepherdess had an old-fashioned long dress, with the bulgy bits at the side that made it look as though she had saddlebags in her knickers. There were blue ribbons all over the dress, and all over the rather showy straw bonnet, and on the shepherd's crook, which was a lot more curly than any crook Tiffany had ever seen. There were even blue bows on the dainty foot poking out from the frilly hem of her dress. This wasn't a shepherdess who'd ever worn big old boots stuffed with wool and tramped the hills in the howling wind with a sleet being driven along like nails. She'd never tried in that dress to pull out a ram who'd got his horns tangled in a thorn patch. This wasn't a shepherdess who'd kept up with the champion shearer for 7 hours, sheep for sheep, until the air was hazy with grease and wool and blue with cussin, and the champion gave up because he couldn't cuss sheep as well as Granny Aching. No self-respecting sheepdog would ever come by or walk up for a simpering girl with saddlebags in her pants. It was a lovely thing, but it was a joke of a shepherdess, made by someone who'd probably never seen a sheep up close. What had Granny Aching thought about it? Tiffany couldn't guess. She'd seemed happy because it's the job of grandmothers to be happy when grandchildren give them things. She'd put it up on her shelf and then taken Tiffany on her knee and called her my little Jigget in a nervous sort of way, which she did when she was trying to be grandmotherly. Sometimes, in the rare times Granny was down at the farm, Tiffany would see her take down the statue and stare at it. But if she saw Tiffany watching, she'd put it back quickly and pretend she'd meant to pick up the sheep book. Perhaps, Tiffany thought wretchedly, the old lady had seen it as a sort of insult. Perhaps she thought she was being told that this was what a shepherdess should look like. She shouldn't be an old lady in a muddy dress and big boots, with an old sack around her shoulders to keep the rain off. A shepherdess should sparkle like a starry night. Tiffany hadn't meant to... She'd never meant to... But perhaps she had been telling Granny that she wasn't right. And then, a few months after that, Granny had died, and in the years since then everything had gone wrong. Wentworth had been born, and then the Baron's son had vanished, and then there had been that bad winter when Mrs. Snapperley died in the snow. Tiffany kept worrying about the statue. She couldn't talk about it. Everyone else was busy or not interested. Everyone was edgy. They'd have said that worrying about a silly statue was silly. Several times she nearly smashed the shepherdess. But she didn't, because people would notice. She wouldn't have given something as wrong as that to Granny Aching now, of course. She'd grown up. She remembered that the old lady would smile oddly sometimes when she looked at the statue. If only she'd said something. But Granny liked silence. And now it turned out that she'd made friends with a lot of little blue men, who walked the hills looking after the sheep because they liked her too. Tiffany blinked. It made a kind of sense. In memory of Granny Aching, the men left the tobacco. And in memory of Granny Aching, the Knack Mac Feagle minded the sheep. It all worked, even if it wasn't magic. But it took Granny away. "Darth Woolley," she said, staring hard at the struggling Pixie and trying not to cry. "Mm-hmm. Is it true what Rob Anybody told me?" "Hmm?" Darth Woolley's eyebrows went up and down furiously. "Mr. Feagle, you can please take your hand away from his mouth," said Tiffany. Darth Woolley was released. Rob Anybody had looked worried, but Darth Woolley was terrified. He dragged his bonnet off and stood holding it in his hands as if it was some kind of shield. "Is all that true, Darth Woolley?" said Tiffany.
"Oh, wheely, wheely. Just a simple yes or... a simple aye or nay, please." "Aye, it is," blurted out Daft Woolley. "Oh, wheely, wheely. Yes, thank you," said Tiffany, sniffing and trying to blink the tears away. "All right, I understand." The Feagles eyed her cautiously.
"'You're nae going to get nasty about it?' said Rob Anybody. "'No, it all works.' She heard it echo around the cavern, the sound of hundreds of little men sighing with relief.
"'She dinna turn me into a pismire,' said Daft Woolly, grinning happily at the rest of the Pixies. "'Hey, lads, I talked wi' the hag, and she dinna e'en look at me crosswise. She smiled at me.'
He beamed at Tiffany and went on, "'And ye ken, mistress, that iffen you hold the baccy label upside doon, then part of the sailor's bonnet and his ear become a lady with name.
"'Ach, there I goes again, accidentally nearly throttling ye,' said Rob Anybody, his hand clamping over Woolly's mouth.
Tiffany opened her mouth but stopped when her ears tickled strangely. In the roof of the cave, several bats woke up and hastily flew out of the smoke hole. Some of the feagles were busy on the far side of the chamber. What Tiffany had thought was a strange round stone was being rolled aside, revealing a large hole. Now her ears squelched and felt as though all the wax was running out. The feagles were forming up in two rows, leading to the hole. Tiffany prodded the toad. "'Do I want to know what a pismire is?' she whispered.
"'It's an ant,' said the toad.
"'Oh, I'm slightly surprised.
"'And this sort of high-pitched noise?'
"'I'm a toad. We're not good at ears, but it's probably him over there.' There was a feagle walking out of the hole from which came, now that Tiffany's eyes had become accustomed to the gloom, a faint golden light. The newcomer's hair was white instead of red, and while he was tall for a pixie, he was as skinny as a twig. He was holding some sort of fat skin bag bristling with pipes.
"'Now there's a sight I don't reckon many humans have seen and lived,' said the toad. "'He's playing the mouse pipes.
"'They make my ears tingle!' Tiffany tried to ignore the two little ears still on the bag of pipes.
"'High-pitched, see?' said the toad. "'Of course the Pixies here sounds differently than humans do. "'He's probably their battle poet, too.
"'You mean he makes up heroic songs about famous battles?
"'No, no. He recites poems that frighten the enemy. "'Remember how important words are to the Nac-Mac Feagle?'
"'Well, when a well-trained Gonagall starts to recite, the enemy's ears explode.
"'Ah, it looks as though they're ready for you.'
In fact, Rob Anybody was tapping politely on Tiffany's toe-cap.
"'The Kelder will see you now, mistress,' he said.
The piper had stopped playing and was standing respectfully beside the hole. Tiffany felt hundreds of bright little eyes watching her.
"'Special sheep liniment,' whispered the toad.
"'Pardon?'
"'Take it in with us,' the toad said insistently. "'It'd be a good gift.'
The Pixies watched her carefully as she lay down again and crawled through the hole behind the stone, the toad hanging on tightly. As she got closer, she realised that what she'd thought was a stone was an old round shield, green-blue and corroded with age. The hole it had covered was indeed wide enough for her to go through, but she had to leave her legs outside because it was impossible to get all of her into the room beyond. One reason was the bed, small though it was, which held the Kelder. The other reason was that what the room was mostly full of, piled up around the walls and spilling across the floor, was gold.